Welcome to another edition of Ultimate Key to Freedom. Questions, answers, shares, and whatever. I don't know why I get such a kick out of that whatever part, but I do. I guess it's probably because I hear my kids say that and then other kids saying, you know, the whatever kind of a thing with that tone. On May 1st, I begin a 5-day live Ultimate Key to Freedom intensive at my home, and so I will be very busy. Beginning Friday morning with that live event, which is when I normally do these questions and answers, as well as Thursday for preparation. So I will be doing this audio earlier than I normally do. If you submit a question, whatever, Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, Friday, I apologize in advance that there will be a delay because of this before I get to your question, because I had to do all of this and then upload it earlier than normal. So please forgive me. You will get an answer the following week to any questions that were submitted after I completed and uploaded this audio. Okay. Anyway, this first question or whatever it is, is from Isabel, who has gone through the entire content of Ultimate Key to Freedom twice, she says, in response to that question. Hi, Robert. And by the way, she's using transformational vocabulary, so there's quotes around all the I's and words like that, but I'm not going to say quote-unquote. Just know that she's doing that. Hi, Robert. I am very happy with the teachings, as I've been able to apply them daily. I'm going to stop there. Isabel, I would be curious to hear what you mean by apply them daily. And I want to reinforce, ultimate freedom is not a technique. It's not a tool. It's not every time something happens, try to separate the pure raw experience as a proactive technique or tool or method or practice. It's a way of being, with a capital B. It's a way of perceiving and experiencing everything as the total immersion reader that just arises naturally, automatically. It's just the way that you are. So maybe you're just using language loosely there, and instead of applying them, what you mean is you're noticing that that is arising on its own naturally. If you are actually applying something, trying to do something, I'd be curious to know what it is and to dialogue with you, because whatever happens, happens. Everything's fine. True creative essence shapes itself into whatever it shapes itself into. And my bias of the purity, if you will, of ultimate freedom is that it isn't a technique or a tool or a method or a practice that you apply. It ultimately is the truth virus doing its work until a very different way of being that I call the total immersion reader or ultimate freedom awakens, locks in, beareth the language, and then everything is perceived differently. So anyway, continuing. And I'm finally starting to observe more and been on the reader of my story perspective. Okay, well, maybe I stopped too soon, or maybe there is still something that you're quote-unquote applying as it appears day to day. Continuing, I'm finally getting it, and I feel that I find myself surprised to be happy with flowing with the story rather than planning, striving, organizing. I see my mind machine saying, I think I better start doing some planning, writing a year goal plan, etc., but that thought passes. Is that expected to become relaxed about it at this stage? There's one more sentence here, so I'm going to keep reading before I answer that. I still feel a big charge or inner space, strong energy movement come up about a few things, and instead of wanting to use the tools, which I believe she means the Busting Loose Phase 2 tools, I am now just relaxing and seeing my mind machine do its thing, and it passes rather quickly. Okay, this is a tricky thing, Isabel, and everybody else listening, because there's no rule or formula, and there's no one way that anything is. There are certain things that were done in phase one that would be called planning, setting goals, writing a year plan, trying to get consciously clear on your life purpose and mission and bring things into alignment. There's all these kinds of things that used to happen in a phase one context with the cloud cover in place. And then we were off to the races with setting goals and not achieving some of them and having plans. And then, you know, when you get there, the plans don't work. And I'm fond of a scene in the Harry Potter movies. I can't remember if it's the sixth movie or the seventh movie. I think it's the seventh movie where, they just narrowly escape a very dangerous situation. Ron, Hermione, and Harry, the three of the main characters. And Harry says, we need to go to Hogwarts. And Hermione says, I'm paraphrasing, you know, no, we can't just go there. We've got to have a plan. You know, we've got to decide what we're going to do. And Harry says, since when have any of our plans ever worked? You know, what seems to happen is we make these plans, we get there, all hell breaks loose, and we end up, you know, doing what we do kind of a thing. And that's so much of, you know, there's that John Lennon quote, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. So there are some of these kinds of things that there is the opportunity for them to drop away when ultimate freedom awakens in phase three, in a phase three story. But there's no rule or formula or must or that it's a status update. You know, if you're no longer setting goals, then that means that phase three, you're in phase three and ultimate freedom is awake. There is the opportunity for them to go away. The Robert character has not operated on any kind of goals of any kind in terms of overall planning for things for, I would guess, I don't know, 8 to 10 years maybe. I'm not driven by that in the typical kind of a sense. You know, how much money do I want to make? How many people would I like to have at this event? You know, what about this? What about that? Those kinds of life-driven goals. But there definitely is planning that takes place, you know. I mean, I just got back at the time of this recording, I guess maybe a month ago, 3 weeks ago, I got back from a trip to Germany. And while I was in Germany, certain things were planned, you know. I needed to take a train from certain places. I needed to get an airline ticket. I needed to have a hotel. There needed to be transportation. There were certain things that were planned in advance as part of that trip. There were certain things that were planned once I got there, and there were certain things that you would say we were just winging it. You know, we decided at the last minute where we were going to go to dinner. We decided at the last minute what were we going to do on Friday to tour around Germany, you know, when I had a free day. So there definitely is planning that takes place, and I feel like saying there is a certain amount of planning at the story level that has to take place for life to work. But there are certain kinds of planning, and there are certain kinds of goals, and there are certain kinds of organizing that, lack of a better term, are phase one distortions. They're part of cloud cover. They're part of phase one. They're part of the phase one game, and they are no longer needed, and so those things can drop away. A lot of them do, but it's not a rule or a formula. And then I very often will have people that will come to me as they go through ultimate freedom, and they'll say, or after, you know, they finish it, and they'll say, well, you know, I'm in a job where my boss is constantly asking me for what my goals are. You know, what's my quarterly sales target? You know, what are my goals for this or that? And I get what you're saying, and I'm not feeling motivated to set these kinds of goals anymore, but I'm in a situation where I'm being asked for them, you know? So, and then in all of these situations, true creative essence will take care of it. If there needs to be planning, there will be planning, and you will total immersion read the planning, whatever it looks like, and whether there's a plan to do X, Y, Z, and then you get somewhere and you do X and Y, but you also do R instead because something changes, then you'll total immersion read that there was a plan and then it changed. If you remember Michael Hague's talking about the structure of a great story, one of the things he talks about is that the plan, there's a plan and it appears to be working, and then very often there's a stage where all of a sudden it's not working and you have to go to plan B or back to the drawing board or whatever. So, and if there is a character, which may not apply to you, Isabel, you didn't bring it up, but it does apply to certain other people. It does not apply in the Robert story, where a boss or somebody is asking you for goals or something like that, then true creative essence will take care of it. And there will be some sort of a written plan, you know, and you'll know that it's a story and it's part of the story and what's going to happen is going to happen, but you give them the quarterly goals. You give her the quarterly goals, whatever it is. But there are certain things that are in self-help techniques, and there are certain things that are in manifestation techniques, and there are certain things that are in spiritual techniques that, to the, you know, again, you have to have a plan or nothing's going to get done. You have to set your intentions for everything that you're doing, because if you don't set your intentions, then you're not going to get what you want. Nothing's going to happen, or someone else's intentions are going to override yours. You know, there's all these kinds of things that could still, you know, appear in a story, even with ultimate freedom awakening. But There tends, I feel like saying, to be a relaxation on these kinds of things. But remember, it's all about, at its core, the human experience is all about play, exploration, and creative expression for who we really are, true creative essence. And it's about the opportunity, dropping beneath that a little bit, for unique thoughts, feelings, and sensations that appear in inner space on their own, or appear in inner space with the dance of inner space and story space intermingling, if you will, combining. And so if there's a particular scenario, long-term, short-term, and a blip, we're having a plan and it working or not working, having a goal, having goals and having it work or not work, then if that's what the context is for unique thoughts, feelings, and sensations, then that will happen. But there does, in fact, tend to be a relaxation, and there does tend to be a knowing with a capital K that, again, if you set a goal, what's happening? A thought is appearing in inner space, or a hand of a body is writing down something on a piece of paper, or typing it in a, you know, an app on a phone or a software program or whatever. It's a character in a story setting a goal. Where is the goal ultimately coming from? If you're reading a novel or watching a movie or a TV show, but as you know, I love the novel metaphor because it's more accurate, and you're on page 256, and on page 256, the hero of the story sits down and says, okay, it's time for me to write my one-year goal plan. You know, what do I want to have happen in 2015? Or imagine it's December 1st, 2015, or whatever. Let's say you're reading a novel, and it's about the year 2000, so on page 256, the character is sitting down on December 1st, 1999 or whatever it is and saying, okay, I'm going to write down my goal plan for 2000. You know, what do I want to have happen? What do I want to create? What do I want to, you know, produce, whatever, in 2000? And you're reading the pages and this character saying, I want this, 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 and this. You know, well, so where's that really coming from? Is the individual, the character, the hero really setting goals? No, the author is shaping itself into the appearance of the goals being written, being narrated, you know, in a voice recorder, whatever it is. And it's the author's consciousness, the author's whatever, that's shaping itself into the character appearing to do that. And it's the same with us. And if that happens and there is a set of goals and there's 10 goals and 7 of them get achieved and 3 don't, or 3 of them get achieved and 7 don't, and you continue to read the novel and you find out that there's 3 goals that weren't achieved, and it's all just true creative essence expressing itself. The goals in and of themselves have no power, even though there's a lot of stuff in phase 1 that says they do. The intentions, all these things. So because that's true, because phase 3 and ultimate freedom are about being in a truthful with a capital T relationship with everything, many of these things that used to be prominent, that used to feel required, necessary, damned if you don't, you know, whatever, those things tend to drop away. But there isn't a rule or a formula. Again, if you look at it from this perspective, if a character was going to sit down and try to make a plan for 2016 at this case, and you're aware of the fact that, you know, what's really going on, it seems a little silly, you know, just to use judgmental language, and it just doesn't make a lot of sense when you're in a truthful with a capital T relationship. But it can still happen. You know, it's. I'll give you another example from Germany. What happened is a man from Germany, a German man, came to the Ultimate Key to Freedom intensive in my home, and he had a very, let's just say, positive experience. You'll know what I mean. Went back to Germany and wanted to support me coming to Germany to share Ultimate Freedom, the 5-day live experience with the German people, you know, with a translator and stuff. So he went to a company that he knew and said, you need to bring Robert Scheinfeld in to do this workshop. And so as it turned out, he said, I want you to bring him to do Ultimate Freedom. And what ended up happening is, you know, and I didn't care. We got the invitation. There was a dialogue in my mind. Maybe this will happen. Maybe it won't. If it does happen, however many people are going to come are going to come. You know, it's not up to me. It's not coming from my thoughts or my intentions, you know. So, but as it turned out, the way it unfolded, The Busting Loose from the Money Game book has been translated into German, and so these people decided that for my first trip to Germany, what they wanted to do was a two-day Busting Loose from the Money Game live event, and then to kind of introduce people and see what the response was, and then as a, that was going to be kind of Ultimate Key to Freedom level one, you know, and then the five-day intensive was going to be level two, and I'd come back a year later or whatever it would be. And so that's what happened. And then it was, okay, and they set a date, and they have their venue where they do their, they bring their speakers to come. They have their own venue. They don't use hotels and stuff. And then it was, all right, we don't know how many people are going to come. And I, so I was just waiting to see, and I knew I might go to Germany. I might not go to Germany. I might go to Germany, and there'll be five people. I might go to Germany, and there might be 500 people. You know, I mean, I didn't know, didn't care, didn't have a target, didn't have a goal. And then, as it turned out, attendance was kind of slow for a while, and there was a moment where we weren't sure if we were going to do it or they didn't know if I'd want to do it, but we committed to doing it. And then, as it turned out, there was a good crowd, and everybody was happy, and we had a great time and all kinds of other amazing. But it all just happened because True Creative Essence shaped itself in to it. I didn't have a goal of how much money I needed to make. I didn't have a goal of how many people had to be in the room. I didn't have a goal of it needs to be the five-day ultimate freedom or nothing, and I don't want to do a two-day money game, you know, whatever. Just it unfolds as it unfolds, just like a novel does when you're reading it. You have no control, as we talked about in the ultimate freedom content teachings. You have no control over what's happening in a novel. You just get to read it. We have no control over what's happening. Our thoughts, our goals, our intentions, our plans don't mean anything except they're raw material for building stories. Whether goals are set, plans are made, it turns out that way, it gets changed for whatever reason, it's all just raw material for building stories. And in terms of instead of using the tools, you're just relaxing, that's fine. It would be fine if you said there are times where I still feel like using the process and so I do, or whatever, it doesn't make any difference, but what you're talking about is quite common, and it is in fact what happened for the Robert character. Okay, continuing. My second question is in relation to science. I've been involved in learning about quantum and unified theory physics, and recently I listened to a talk of one alternative physicist who was saying that memory, in parentheses, the mind-machine content, is recorded in space and time and only exists to allow us to measure space. If there's no memory, there's no time. This memory is recorded digitally in a fractal and geometric format. He was saying that when he dissolves a past issue with somebody, for example, we change the geometry and our previous generations can benefit as it changed our history line. So my question is, it may be that by being more aware of the mind-machine content, we are creating more flow and changing patterns and programs which change the geometry of the recorded memories or database, therefore changing not only the now, but the past, altering the recordings in the future, even though I know time is a construct. Do you agree? I know you may say this is on the story level because it relates to the 3D world. Would love to hear your experience on that. Have you noticed that character Robert's family have changed as a possible result of your work? Okay, it's not going to surprise you what I'm about to say, Isabel, or anybody else listening. This whole thing from the alternative physicist is a story. And it's a story that's active in his or her, did you say? I can't see here if it's a man or a woman. Doesn't matter. But any, yeah, he was saying, okay, so this particular physicist, this story that memory is recorded digitally in a fractal and geometric format, and because of that, this is possible and that's possible, that's all raw material for stories that's active in his story that gives True Creative Essence an opportunity to play, explore, and express itself creatively in a unique what-would-happen-if scenario that in this case has to do with science and unified physics and quantum theory and these kinds of things. That's not, quote-unquote, the way it is. That's not, quote-unquote, objectively how memory works in the human experience. It's a story. And True Creative Essence shapes itself into that a story appearing to be true There appearing to be evidence that that's the way it is. And then with that, as raw material to construct stories from, there's then rippling out from those drops in the pond what he talks about. You can heal a past issue and it heals your whole lineage. And I know there's a lot of things out there in healing dynamics. I remember hearing some things from that by my from my sister, that there's certain things that in the Sheinfeld family on both sides, you know, my father's name was Sheinfeld and my mother's name was different. So there's two families going back, a lineage, but that there's a lineage of certain things happening with women in the lineage, and that she felt that she had broken this pattern, and therefore, you know, the people that follow in the lineage no longer have to deal with. So, but these are all just stories. They're all just true creative essence shaping itself into raw material for stories that can create great opportunities for play, exploration, and creative expression. And unique opportunities, which is what's underneath that, to have unique thoughts, feelings, and sensations through as a unique character with a unique body and a unique story space dynamic interacts with these kinds of things. So do I agree? No. But can that be active in his story? Yes. Can that be active in the Isabel story? Sure. Might it not be active in your story or someone else's? Sure. There isn't any one way that the universe works. There isn't one way that memory is or it isn't in this case. There isn't, I talked about that, I believe, on day three, that there isn't any one way that it is, that I used to think that it was. But true creative essence can shape itself into any way for anything to happen, any kind of cause and effect relationship, any kind of dynamic, whether it relates to quantum and physics or it relates to other things, in order to create unique opportunities, which, again, science fiction writers do. Fantasy writers do. They create unique worlds that have unique laws that operate in those worlds, or they have superheroes or whatever that appear to break the rules that other people have to deal with. It's all just raw material for stories. In terms of has my family changed? Well, see, that's kind of a tricky thing because my son is 13, my daughter is 16. You know, they're constantly changing anyway. It's not like they're adults who used to behave a certain way and then all of a sudden changed and turned on a dime as a result of this kind of a ultimate freedom awakening in the Robert story. But certainly those things happened. They happened with the Busting Loose Phase 2 teachings. They can happen in other kinds of things where one character goes through this kinds of transformation, so to speak. And in my language, it's not because of some fractal whatever or because geometry has changed. It's because true creative essence says this story was about da-da-da-da. And people acted in certain ways to support da-da-da-da. And now that da-da-da-da has happened, in this case, ultimate freedom has awakened. There's no longer the need for characters to behave in the old way. And so I'm going to start writing for characters to behave different with the hero in the future. These kinds of things can happen. But if they do, it's because true creative essence wants to play, explore, and express itself creatively differently in a particular scenario after certain things in the story have unfolded. It's not because of some fractal or some geometry or because of some universal law or because a lineage has been healed, but it certainly can appear that way. An author can write a story and it can have a character on a healing journey. It doesn't have to have anything to do with ultimate freedom and can have this healing take place and then can have some sort of a story like the geometry being changed and then all of the lineage, all the people that follow and other people that are there now, the healing ripples out and everybody experiences. Certainly that could happen. Is it a law? No. Is it a rule? No. Is it likely? No. Can it happen? Sure. For those reasons that I expressed. So that's about my kids. You know, has my sister changed? No. Has my brother changed? No. Did my father change before he died? No. Has my mother in the way that she behaves or acts or whatever as it relates to the Robert character changed? No. Has the behavior of Cecily, my ex, changed as a result of ultimate freedom awakening or this geometry fractal thing being changed? If we go back to that example, no. Not really. It could. Any of these characters could change. My father died with our dynamic never changing at all, despite huge amounts of cloud cover being knocked out, so to speak, in the Robert story. my relationship with my brother and sister and mother and other people that were, you know, whatever, long-term characters in the Robert story. My mother, the odds are, will die without anything changing significantly with us. I don't know what's going to happen in the future with my ex, Cecily. There's no way to know, you know, about this kind of a thing with my kids. But there hasn't been any about face. There hasn't been any radical transformation or change with the primary characters in my story that are called family, although there could be. And if we were to take 1,000 stories where Ultimate Freedom awakened and we were to say, hey, what happened with your family while Ultimate Freedom was awakening? After it awakened, did you notice, blah, blah, blah? You probably would see that. Not all the time. I wouldn't guess at a percentage, but the odds are that you would see that. But not for the reasons that this physicist told you. My bias. Okay, let's move on to the next one. This is from Alex. What video? Day 4, Ultimate Key to Freedom. So I don't know if Alex has finished everything on day 4 or is just on day 4. But anyway, in August 2014, I bought the Masters of Light Gold Program for $895 and worked through it till the end of January 2015. Till March 20th, I felt quite good with it and using the tools, which proved to be helpful through all the varying up-down experiences connected with the Phase 2 game. I also read the Happiness book and took the experience of the free online program Journey to the Infinite. Because of hints in the newsletter that Ultimate Key to Freedom is a unique new experience, much deeper, so to speak, I decided to buy Ultimate Key to Freedom online experience for another $895. I worked or played through the 4 days in about 10 days till 31st of March. Then I stopped using the tools. Since then, 4 weeks ago, I feel strange, do not know at all in which phase I am playing. I've not the feeling at all that there is the truth virus at work. I felt good with the tools. Without them, I feel lost anyway. After having watched the Ultimate Key to Freedom videos, I cannot use them anymore consistently because I underwent the Ultimate Key to Freedom experience. I feel, how can I say it, irritated. I was used to the tools, spent a lot of time learning about Phase 2 and how to use them. Then, for you it was 8 years, for me 2 months, I learned there is a quicker and better way into ultimate freedom. I did not get anything from the video so far, which gives me the feeling to be free or in Phase 3. A part of myself actually feels betrayed. No Phase 2, no Phase 3, I know both are only terms or models. Is there anything you can tell me to help me out of this stuck state slash dead end feeling? It would not be sufficient to tell me the mind machine is leading me on a path which makes it impossible to be open for the truth or say that it will go as it goes. I just need a personal hint. Maybe I am not alone with this experience. Okay, Alex, this is only a few paragraphs, really, but there's so much in here, and I could probably talk for 5 hours in response to the various levels that I see here. So I'm going to go through some things, as you've probably heard me say many times before. When you are dealing with this level of things, there's generally multiple layers and levels of answers to questions, and it's not just da-da-da-da. There's many layers and levels to go through and ways to look at these kinds of things. So I'll go through them, not in any particular order. They'll come through as they come through. First, let me say that I totally understand the irritation. I did not go through that myself, as you know, because my journey was different, but I certainly understand it. And I've been told so many things in so many different forms of the story called irritation for different reasons, not because somebody did Masters of Light or the Phase 2 teachings and then leaped into this, although there are some people that have done both simultaneously or very quickly thereafter. So I totally get it. I know what that means. I feel your pain, I guess, as the old saying would go. The second thing I want to say is The journey through the cloud cover, whether, and you acknowledge this in your narrative, whether it's using the phase two tools that you were comfortable with, or it's the ultimate freedom path, is in general, it could be anything, but in general, it's difficult. It's confusing. It can be irritating using that story. It can be painful using that story. If you look at what I talked about with my story that I told on day three, that was not, a day at the beach. That was not a real simple, easy, whatever. I mean, you can imagine how quote unquote irritated I was and frustrated and confused beyond the parts of that I shared. So this is no surprise. The cloud cover is so dense, it's so thick, the lies, illusions, and stories about so many things seem so real, and because on this path what tends to be included is the guided tour component, the experience when you're in the middle of it, when you're in the heat of it, when you're drilling through a particularly dense part of the cloud cover, certainly can have all kinds of stories like that. Again, irritating, frustrating, futile, I give up, I can't do this, all these kinds of things. So this is no surprise. And it is possible that if you had not gone into ultimate freedom, but you had just continued to use what you discovered from Masters of Light, that you would have been sending me a similar kind of a thing at some point, saying, I'm really irritated, I'm really frustrated. I've been using the tools for blah, blah, blah amount of time, and I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. And, there can all kinds of things where the message, underlying message, could be the same, even if you had not gone down the ultimate freedom path. So that's the second thing I want to share. The third thing I want to share is, in your narrative here, you say that you went through the ultimate freedom videos, I believe you said, in 10 days. And so what's going on here, Alex, is that what's in there is being experienced purely at the idea and concept level. In essence, Robert said this, and then Robert said this, and then Robert said that. And it's just the buzzword of the mind machine considering the data at the idea and concept level. In order for what was shared in the videos, and bear with the language here, nothing serves, so we do the best we can with language that's flawed. What needs to happen, and I talked about this, I believe, on day four, is that there has to actually be looking and seeing what's happening, and there has to be an experience of the truth. Again, if I said to you in Masters of Light, hey, there's the truth that's the sun. There's the cloud cover that's been built to block you from experiencing the sun. Who you really are is the sun. That doesn't do you any good to understand that intellectually. You have to actually knock out the cloud cover and then experience the sun shining through. Just telling you something doesn't do you any good. So just going through, and I'm not being critical or judgmental here. I'm just describing what happens. You went through the material very quickly. And you went through the material very quickly after completing the Masters of Light material that you were just starting to get comfortable with. So there has to actually be a looking, so to speak, bear with the language, of what's happening in inner space. For example, you said here, I feel irritated. And then later on, you said a part of myself actually feels betrayed. The opportunity on this path, and if you go through the archives of the Q&A for Ultimate Freedom, you'll hear me repeat this over and over and over, is the opportunity is, okay, I hear you, you're using the word irritated. And you're using the word irritated to describe something that's appearing in inner space. So the opportunity now, and what happens automatically later amongst many, many, many changes, is to say, okay, what's actually appearing in inner space that I'm calling irritated. Let's forget the label. Let's forget the word irritated. Let's forget the fact that there's a negative judgment in there. Irritation is a bad thing, so to speak. It doesn't feel good. It's a negative emotion. I don't like feeling it. Let's put all of that on a shelf temporarily and let's look. Let's make this experiential. Let's drop it down from idea and concept to actually seeing what's going on. And I don't know, because it's different for all of us, Alex, but my guess is that what you're calling irritated is a combination of a voice that's appearing in inner space that's actually saying, I'm irritated, or I'm annoyed, or I don't like this, or this sucks, or whatever it is. There's a voice that's saying certain words, and combined with that, appearing in inner space is probably some feeling, movement of energy called emotion, and maybe a movement of energy called sensation. It's not irritation. It's not bad. It's not unpleasant. It's not uncomfortable. All it is a voice appearing in inner space that's saying da-da-da-da. And then there's movements of energy that are fused to that, bonded to that, binded to that. And then there's a story. Mind machine looks at it and says, irritated. Same thing with betrayed. There's something that's appearing in inner space that you're calling betrayed. There's a story called betrayal and the negative tinge of that. Now, you're saying here, no phase two, no phase three. So maybe there's a voice that's saying, I feel really betrayed, you know, because now all of a sudden there's no phase two, there's no phase three, blah, blah, blah. So this is the first opportunity that you have here is to, again, the words don't serve. It's to get into a truthful with a capital T relationship with what's going on here, which is to throw out the words, throw out the labels, betrayal and irritated, throw out whatever else and observe, so to speak, witness, so to speak, read, so to speak, what's actually going on. That's the first piece of advice that I would give you. Now, you may not be able to do this immediately, or you may. But the opportunity is put the words on a shelf, put the labels and judgments on a shelf and observe. When I say I'm feeling irritated, when I say I'm feeling betrayed, what is actually happening? If there was some sort of an inner space video recorder device, and it could record exactly what's appearing in inner space within Alex, so to speak, with these things that are going on, what would it record? The pure raw experience is what I call it. A voice is appearing that's saying da-da-da-da. Then there's a movement of energy in inner space that's appearing. The mind machine is observing the voice talking, is observing these movements of energy, is making up a story. I feel irritated. I don't like this. This sucks. Whatever. And I feel bad. I feel negative. These are negative emotions that I'm feeling. So that's the next thing that I want to share. That's the opportunity. This is always the opportunity on the path of ultimate freedom awakening. Now, the other thing that I want to say is, and I should have said this before, it's coming a little bit out of order, but I'm jumping around a little bit, but it doesn't matter. You can listen to this as it is. You can listen to it several times. It'll all take care of itself and organize itself, so to speak. As you know, I used the Phase 2 tools, the Masters of Light tools that you discovered, frequently for 6.5 years. I was in Phase 2, best as I can tell, for 8 years, but I used the tools for 6.5 years, and of that 6.5 years, the first 3 years, I used them an awful lot. That was what was written. That was the best way, so to speak, for the Robert character to knock out cloud cover and ultimately open the gateway for ultimate freedom awakening. It is very possible that something like that, maybe that kind of a time frame, maybe not, of using those tools is what would similarly be the best for Alex. And that what you ought to do, and again, what True Creative Essence wants is and has written is what'll appear. You don't have to make a decision. You can't screw this up. It's not up to Alex. It's what's going to happen in the story is going to happen in the story. But it's possible that for the Alex character, for whatever period of time, what might be best is to put the Ultimate Freedom teachings on a shelf, continue to use the tools because you were feeling comfortable with it or whatever, and then ultimately at some point, like it was for me, lack of a better term, there'll be readiness to go deeper. Now, I don't believe in accidents, and I don't believe in mistakes, and I don't believe in dead ends on this kind of a path. So to me, it's not an accident. It's not a mistake. It's not True Creative Essence doing an oops. There's purpose to the fact that you went through Masters of Light, and then you went into this so quickly. And so even if you were to go back and continue to use the tools and leave the Ultimate Freedom stuff on a shelf for a while, There was purpose in you being exposed to it. Now, what that is, I don't know. So I just wanted to say that is a possibility here. There is a story that says that you narrated here, I can't use the tools anymore. But that's just a story. You can. I don't know what's best for you. I don't know what's going to happen, but I just wanted to say that is a possibility. The next thing that I want to say is, I don't know if you listened, if you watched the Ultimate Key to Happiness videos that are part of the Ultimate Key to Freedom experience, because those videos go into more detail on what I call the stages of the truth virus work. And in there, I talk about what I call the destabilization stage of ultimate freedom awakening. And what that means is the mind machine was programmed to run in a certain way, and it was doing its buzzword, and most of it was on autopilot. And when it saw things, it would buzz and whir and know what to do and what to think. And all of this was happening. It was a smoothly running machine, if you will. And then the truth virus goes in and messes with it. The data gets challenged. The data gets changed. The algorithms and programs get challenged and changed. And there's a period of time when the mind machine is destabilized. It still tries to run its three run its machine and ask and answer the three questions. But all of a sudden, the answers aren't clear. It can't autopilot it the way that it used to because it's been seriously messed with. That, to me, my bias is what you're describing here, that you're calling irritated and you're calling betrayed, is that the mind machine is buzzing and whirring and it's saying, you know, I have absolutely no idea what to do with any of this now. I thought that when I was uncomfortable, I should use the process, and I thought this and I thought that. Now, all of a sudden, I don't know what the hell to do, and I feel lost, and I feel betrayed, and I feel I don't know where the hell I am, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And you have a unique version of this, Alex, because you went from Masters of Light to Ultimate Freedom so quickly. But it's still the same thing. It's still destabilization of the mind machine. And to one degree or another, whether somebody goes from phase one dynamics into ultimate freedom teachings, or they go from phase two, like Masters of Light teachings, and then 2 years later or whatever into ultimate freedom, whatever it is, this destabilization of the mind machine still happens. And it still can appear to be confusing and irritating and frustrating and betraying and whatever other word you want to use, because the machine has been messed with. And all of a sudden, what you're experiencing, although you think it's you, and it's not you, it's the mind machine saying, I have absolutely no idea what to do with anything anymore. I thought I had it, all this figured out kind of a thing. I thought I knew what to do, and all of a sudden I don't. So the opportunity is, these are big drops in the pond. The truth virus is doing major work. That's why you're feeling what you're calling irritated and betrayed, because it's at work and it's changing what's in the mind machine. It's destabilizing the mind machine, which we all go through. I went through it, you know, for years, to one degree or another. And it's, again, part and parcel of this path. It doesn't last. I can't say to you, oh, everybody that goes through this, you're going to feel irritated and betrayed, and the mind machine's going to be destabilized for 3 weeks, you know, 8 weeks, whatever it is, and then it'll pass. It happens for everybody that way. It's going to last 2 weeks. You know, I can't say that. It's different for all of us, because everything is different for all of us. But it's a stage. And then there's the other stages. So that would be my next recommendation to you, if you haven't already done it, is you can either go through all the Ultimate Key to Happiness videos, or you can skip through the titles. And I don't remember at the moment what the title is for the video that talks about the stages, but you ought to be able to find it from the titles. If not, you can find it by just kind of going through the videos and skipping ahead until you see that it's the stages is being talked about. So anyway, none of this is surprising to me. I have empathy for you, so to speak, because I know what it feels like to be in this stuck stage. But that's all that it is. And again, it's evidence that the truth virus is doing its work. It's not evidence that it isn't, which is what you narrated. You don't feel that there's the truth virus at work. But the reason that you're feeling and you narrated and you reached out for this kind of support is exactly because it is doing its work. And so those are the things that I would suggest to you. I don't want to give you a list of 50 things. The first thing I would invite you to do, not just with these things about irritated about not using the tools in Masters of Light to Ultimate Freedom, but anything. If you go to work and somebody pisses you off and you feel like they're an asshole or you feel like you're angry or you feel like whatever, the opportunity is take a deep breath, so to speak, pause, put the label, the name, angry, frustrated, happy, peaceful, betrayed, whatever, put it on a shelf, look at what's actually appearing that's being called that, the story that's being attached to that, and see what happens. Because once you actually experience what's really going on, that there's a pure, raw experience, there's a story about it, they get fused together, and that who you really are is not Alex, but true creative essence, total immersion, reading the Alex story, when you actually experience that, which is the ultimate destination, you could say, of these teachings, then everything changes. But, it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't tend to happen in 5 minutes. I think I talked about that on day four. It's designed to unfold over time. It's designed to have bumps in the road. It's designed to have moments where you feel irritated and betrayed, and I don't know where I am, and I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to do anymore, and I hate this, you know, I can't do this anymore. Please stop, True Creative Essence. You're really fucking with me. And it's too much. It's too intense. It's too whatever. I mean, this is part of the story. Going back to what Michael Haig talked about the stages of a good story and the journey from identity to essence, he reinforces all of this in a different way. So that's my first suggestion is pause, take a deep breath to the best of your ability, bear out the language, and you may not be able to do this right away. You may not be able to do this consistently, but to have in mind what's the pure, raw experience. Look, what's actually appearing in inner space? Oh, it's a voice that's saying da-da-da-da. And then, yes, Robert, you're right. There's a movement of energy that I'm calling irritated. There's a movement of energy that I'm calling pressure in my stomach, you know, whatever. And that's all it is. And I'm total immersion reading this voice talking and these movements of energy. And I see, you know, that's the first opportunity. Watch what's actually appearing and see if you can see the pure raw experience of what's actually happening instead of being completely mesmerized by the story. If you're able to do that, soon, later, whatever, if you're not, no big deal. I was not able to immediately. Most people aren't able to immediately, but some do. Some people go through the live 5-day intensive. Some people go through the, however, with whatever speed they go through the Ultimate Freedom Online experience that you're going through, and there's a permanent shift that takes place as they're going through it, which I feel like saying is the intent or the hope in the design of it through my biased eyes, but it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it takes time, sometimes it takes longer periods of time, but the opportunity is to be in a truthful, with a capital T, relationship with everything which that's appearing, which means being clear on the pure raw experience, being clear on the story, being clear on when they're bonded and fused together, and seeing what's really, with a capital S, really going on. So that's the first up, the first invitation. The second is find those videos in the Ultimate Key to Happiness that talk about the stages and go through that. And you might also want to go through some of the stuff on day four, again, talking about what the journey can be like, what to expect, because it may reinforce for you that what you're experiencing is what I predicted, so to speak, and what happens. And then other than that, you know, feel free to come back and continue the dialogue. But the other thing I'll leave you with is, you know, gigantic drops in your pond, so to speak. Gigantic shifts took place in the mind machine as a result of going through Masters of Light, and now more shifts that are taking place and at a much faster pace than happened for me. The mind machine has been seriously messed with, gigantic drops, and they're rippling out. And my bias, as I said, the truth virus is in fact doing its work. And I, again, I can't say these feelings are going to go away in a couple of days or a couple of weeks, although they might. I can't say they're going to come and go, and they're going to be moments of clarity, moments of being in a truthful, with a capital T, relationship, seeing Oh, there's just a voice saying this is really irritating, and I'm total immersion reading that voice as if it was happening, to a character named Alex in a novel that I'm reading. That might happen. Might happen soon, might happen later. You might be in this stuck phase for a while. I certainly was stuck in places for longer periods of time, and then I had plateaus where things felt easier and clearer and stuff, and it rotated all over the place. Again, if you look at Michael Haig talking about the stages of a great story and the journey from identity to essence, there's a journey, and there's a variety of things that unfold over time. And so again, I feel like saying, but I know, I know your mind machine will buzz and whir and say fuck that in whatever way that it does, but the fact that you're saying what you're saying is a good sign. It seems like it's a bad sign because there's a story that says I feel unstable and maybe I feel scared, irritated, betrayed. I don't know what to do. I'm confused, and that's bad. But the reality is, my bias is it's good because it means the truth virus is at work, and as it continues to do its work, things will change. Things will get easier, maybe for a long period of time, maybe in a blip before you go deeper. But again, this journey was not designed to be easy. It was not designed to be quick. If you look at the literal stuff I shared about my journey, and you look at what might be, beneath the scenes, because as I said, I probably behind the scenes, I probably could have told that story. I could probably spend 3 weeks. I could do a 3-week live event and do nothing but talk about the story of Ultimate Freedom Awakening and the Robert story for 3 weeks. There was so much detail about the twists and turns and the stages and all this kind of stuff. So this is what I feel motivated to share with you right now, Alex. I welcome you coming back. This will take care of itself. There will be more clarity. There will be more stability. There will be, or at least there can be, depending on what's been written, the opportunity to be in a truthful relationship with all of this and everything else. This is a stage, my bias. And okay, so that's what I feel motivated to share right now. Okay, here we go. The next question is from Kauri. Hope I pronounced that right. Forgive me if I did not. She has watched all of the videos once and is on her second round. Hello, Robert. I have a question about experiencing the true creative essence viewpoint, which I would love to get to do, but as I understand it, there's no point in trying. In other words, how or if I will ever get there is already written. Is that correct? Can I just lay back and see what happens? Which is probably all I'm doing anyway, but I think my mind machine wants to know if there's a how. Thank you in advance for your response. I really enjoy listening to questions from fellow UKF players and your answers. Okay, a few things, Kauri. First, it doesn't seem this way. I know that, and I've experienced that, but the truth is, the true creative essence viewpoint, which is what I call the total immersion reader, and I use that languaging because to my bias, it's the most accurate description of what's actually happening. Total immersion reading of our stories. So I'll use that term. It's not a new experience. It's not something that you do not have now, but that someday you may. That's why I like the metaphor of sun and cloud so much. If a layer of cloud cover appears, the sun doesn't go away. It's always there. It just appears to be blocked. Your experience of it appears to be blocked by the clouds. But the sun didn't go anywhere. It didn't lose any of its energy. It didn't lose any of its heat. It didn't stop shining. It's still shining on you, so to speak. It's just the direct experience of it is blocked. It's a similar kind of a thing. Who you are is true creative essence, total immersion reading, the Kauri story. That's who you always have been. That's who you are now. That's how you will always be. As long as the Kauri character is alive, let's just say, then you're the total immersion reader, true creative essence, total immersion reading your story. In phase one, when the cloud cover is built, that reality with a capital R, that truth with a capital T, that's who you really are, that's what's always going on. Through the magic trick, which is why I show the elephant disappearing, it appears as if that's lost. It appears as if we don't perceive things that way anymore. We perceive them as the character and all these other things, but that's not true. It's not a new experience. It's a revealed experience. It's the total immersion reader, the TCE viewpoint, as you call it, is always there, has always been there. It just gets hidden. Everything else gets, in a sense, zoomed on, focused on, but it never disappears. That's the interesting thing. It's always there. It always has been there. It always will be there. It's just that with the cloud cover in place, it doesn't seem like that's the case. So there isn't really a destination to get to. There isn't anything that you have to earn or develop or burn off karma or evolve or anything so that you can then finally have that viewpoint. It's again why I said, I believe on the first day, I'm not sure, ultimate freedom is, you know, it's about removing something. It's not about becoming something or understanding something or earning something or whatever else. It's just a question of the magic trick that has been obscuring that truth, that it's always been there, that that's who you always have been and always are and are now, that gets unwound. And it gets unwound, if you will. It gets dissolved, if you will. The cloud cover gets knocked out, if you will. These are all different metaphors and ways of languaging it. Then what has always been there, again, words don't serve here, reveals itself and becomes the perspective point again, that you're aware of all the time. But again, it's not like you have to evolve into it. It's not like you have to practice, you know, meditation or something, and one day you earn the right to have this amazing experience. It's not a new experience. It's a revealed old experience, you could say. So having said that, yes, as I mentioned on day four, Is ultimate freedom going to awaken, which means is that truthful with a capital T perspective point going to lock in? If so, when? If so, how? All these things are determined by true creative essence. Yes, it has been written. It will unfold as it unfolds. It will unfold as a story. It will likely unfold with a guided tour component of how the cloud cover was built, how the magic trick was pulled off, that making you think you really were Kauri and whatever else is in the cloud cover for your unique story. And the opportunity is to just, you wake up every day, you go through life, you see what happens. And anything that I could say to you would just be one character saying something to another character in a story, and whether it goes anywhere or not would be determined, of course, by the writer, you know. There are times, if you listen to these audios, that I will say things like, watch what's actually happening in inner space. You know, take the word anger, put it on the shelf. Take the word irritation, put it on a shelf. What's actually appearing in inner space that you're calling that? Look. Earlier in this audio, I said, you know, take a deep breath, pause, and take a look at what's actually going on. See if pure raw experience separates from story, and you can see what's actually going on. So there are times that I say things like that that make it sound like there is a how, and there's something that you can do, but there really isn't. The only thing that you can really do, but you can't even really do that, is just, again, to watch. Be aware of what's happening in inner space. But if you are, then it's that you've written. You know, if you're reading a novel and on page 256, someone is in a coaching session and they talk to the coach and the coach says, okay, from now on, what I want you to do is every time that you get, I'm making this up purely random, every time you get angry, I want you to do this, 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 and this. And so you keep turning the pages of this book and you see that the character's angry and does that sometimes and angry and doesn't do that sometimes. Whatever the character says, whatever the character does, whatever happens, whatever doesn't happen, it's all what's written. And so ultimately, yes, you are true creative essence, total immersion reading the Kauri story. And in the Kauri story, this new thing called the Ultimate Freedom Teachings have just been introduced. And so you're turning the pages. You know, imagine it's a 5,000-page novel And you're on page, I'm just making this up. I don't know how old you are, and I don't know how old you're going to live to be in your story, but I'm just making these things up to illustrate points. So let's imagine that the Cowrie story is 6,000 pages, and you're on page 3,800. And on page 3,800, this Ultimate Freedom Teachings has just been introduced to this Cowrie character. And so you're going to keep turning the pages, you're going to keep reading the book, and you're going to see what happens to this Cowrie character. And it really is exactly the same thing, except you are True Creative Essence, total immersion reading the Cowrie story so that you get to think everything she thinks, feel everything she feels, experience all the bodily sensations she does, experience everything coming through the senses of story space. It's a total immersion experience, and where it goes, it goes. How it happens, but the important thing is, yes, it definitely seems like ultimate freedom is a destination, it's a goal, it's a place, if you will, it's something that you don't have now, that hopefully someday you will, but that's just not true. You have always had it, you have it now, you're aware of having it now, that's the ironic thing. This total immersion reader is always there. It's the most familiar, it's the most intimate, it's the most... I can't think of another word. It's the most intimate and the most familiar experience that we have. It's just that it is obscured in phase one in order to make phase one possible. And so the obscuring gets removed, and then all of a sudden, that perspective point with capital P's becomes the permanent locked in, and there isn't any more obscuring of it. That's the big shift that takes place. And all you need to do, lack of a better term, don't take this too literally, is just wait, you know. The pages are going to get turned. You're going to total immersion read page after page after page each day in Cowrie's life and the Cowrie story, and you'll see what happens along these kinds of lines, not just with Ultimate Freedom Awakening, which is my language. Not accurate, but the best I've found and most accurate with distorted language. And wait and see what happens, just like you do when you're reading a novel, just like you do when you're watching a movie, just like you do when you're watching the episodes of a TV show. The story's been written, the author has created things to happen for the characters, and in essence, you have to wait until you turn each page, until the minutes and seconds of the movies and TV show episodes pass to see what happens in the story. It's the same exact thing. Okay, here is our next question. This is from Elmar. Watch the Ultimate Key to Freedom 2 times. Okay, dear Robert, after you said there is no truth virus in lucid dreaming, my character didn't feel interested in that anymore. I'm going to stop there for a second, Elmar. I don't always remember exactly what it is that I say, and I'm saying so many different things in so many different contexts that it all kind of blurs anyway, but I don't remember saying anything like there's no truth virus in lucid dreaming. My guess is I said something else, and the buzzword interpretation of the mind machine was that, or maybe that's just some loose languaging, but I don't remember saying anything like that, nor is it likely, as I perceive things, that I would make a comment like that. Lack of a better term, it doesn't sound like me. I probably said something else about lucid dreaming, but so anyway, I just wanted to push on that a little bit. In the meantime, continuing, my character watched the Ultimate Key to Happiness videos 4 times, and the mind machine was quite confused about it. At the same time, I, in quotes, he's using transformational vocabulary, but I'm not going to read the quotes every time. At the same time, I found that I was still interested in other methods and techniques I used earlier, or that were advertised in emails, etc. So I watched the Lies, Illusions, Story section of the Ultimate Key to Happiness, the most boring one, again and again, until I could finally see that my character is still believing these lies and is still making an effort to get rid of negative emotions. Okay, I'm going to stop there for a second, and I may be jumping ahead here, but when ultimate freedom awakens, when there really begins to be seeing with a capital S of what's really going on in inner space, primarily with pure raw experience and stories and the bonding and the fusing, in general, what happens is there is less and less and less and then no interest in the various techniques that are offered in phase one, to change, fix, and improve things, there is also less and less and less, if any, interest in using the Busting Loose Phase 2 tools that the Robert character offered. However, as I said, there is no rule or formula, and there's certainly no time frame in terms of how that'll happen, if it happens, when it'll happen, and there's no must that it will. It's just, for obvious reasons, it tends to happen, because when there's a truthful relationship, when you're experiencing the movement of energy without labels and without stories, there isn't any motivation to make anything go away anymore, you know? So for obvious reasons, it tends to drop away. But there's nothing wrong or bad or destructive or sabotaging or anything else about any of this. And again, the journey to ultimate freedom awakening is going to unfold as a story over time with twists and turns. There's going to be a guided tour of stuff that's in the mind machine, which it sounds like is what you're narrating here. So there's no judgment of that. I also just want to push on when you said the lies, illusions, and stories section was the most boring one. Again, I just want to push on that and say boring is a story. It's the mind machine buzzing and worrying and saying whatever. I already know this. You've already said that a million times. This isn't so exciting to me. It's just a mind machine story, boring, not just in, with something that I share, but period. It's not true. It's just a story. And the whole purpose of so much of this, as you know, but I'll remind you, is truth virus injections. It doesn't matter what the mind machine thinks. It doesn't matter what the buzzword kicks out. When you watch these things, when you experience these things, when you listen to these audios, all of it is going into the mind machine. It all is raw material that true creative essence can use to create truth virus dynamics and support the awakening of ultimate freedom. Okay, in fact, continuing, I can see now that the only, in all caps, goal in my life is I don't want to feel fear. And if I reach that, I am happy. All other goals are sub-goals to reach that main goal. Everything is just a remedy or cure to become fear-free. What a story, exclamation point. What happens now is that my character is still thinking you have to get rid of the I am the body idea, then you are free of fear. See, I am smiling about that right now without the stubbornness. Sometimes there is a feeling like, to whom is the voice talking to? It's just talking to nobody, but that comes and goes. Can you give me any hint that would be supportive? Thank you very much, Elmar. Well, when you say, can you give me a hint that would be supportive, or when anybody says something like that, and there have been other people on this particular audio that have asked me for a hint or whatever, what it is, and in the last question, this was actually narrated directly. It's the mind machine buzzing and worrying and trying to answer its questions. And the third question is, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to respond? And in this case, you have stated that the mind machine is on a mission to eliminate fear from Elmar's life. And this has been a mission that odds are has been going on for a really long time. Maybe you're more clear on it now, but that's a mission that's been in the mind machine's database and it's been running for a really long time. So can you give me a hint? What the mind machine is saying is, Robert, please tell me something that I can use to get rid of fear. And I don't have anything to give you to get rid of fear. I don't teach people, so to speak, bear with the language, how to bring things into their lives, or good things, or make bad things go away, or how to produce particular results. My unique gift that I've been created to offer, just to use that language, is to help facilitate the knocking out of the cloud cover at the story level. It's not me doing it. It's not anything I say doing it. It's true creative essence doing it, but doing it with a particular story that the Robert character plays in. And when there is seeing with a capital S of what's really going on, when you're in a truthful relationship with a capital T with fear, there's no problem. There's nothing that needs to go away. There's nothing bad going on. There's nothing that needs to change. And so how are you going to get to the point where you're in a truthful relationship with all of your emotions? That's something that can unfold, is likely to unfold to one degree or another. Although certainly there could be characters who would come through this experience, whether it's live or online. And that wouldn't happen because that's not what was written. What was written was to have this experience and have it ripple out in other ways that don't include what I call ultimate freedom awakening. But the odds are, especially when you're talking about this being a mission, because the reality is, again, there is no such thing as fear. There is no such thing as fear being an emotion that's negative and that feels bad. There is no reason for it to go away. Now, the interesting thing that can happen is there's always two possibilities on this journey. One is something that used to happen a lot stops happening. And the other is something that used to happen a lot continues to happen, but the experience, with a capital E, perception with a capital P, experience of it is completely different. So as it relates to fear, since you bring that up, there are two possibilities. The first possibility is there are situations where in phase one, what you call fear used to appear. And when I say what you call fear, I mean a movement of energy with particular characteristics. Now, usually what's called fear is something that, again, my bias, you may experience it differently or other people listening. It tends to be something that moves fast, that tends to be somewhat sharp and jagged, and is very hypnotic. It zooms in and it kind of blots everything else out, kind of a thing. But it tends to move fast. It tends to be jagged and sharp. It tends to have a magnetic pull kind of a thing in it, but your experience could be different. So there could be times when something happened in phase one and what you're calling fear, meaning just the pure raw experience of energy moving in a particular way, that particular movement of energy accompanied certain times, certain things. I'm going to make up some examples. They may not be relevant to your story, Elmar, or other people listening, but you'll know what I mean. Let's suppose that Elmar always used to feel fear before having to make a presentation to his boss at work. Let's say Elmar used to feel fear around certain women, you know, or if let's say you're single, Elmar, and you date, and fear used to appear in phase one when you would meet a woman for the first time. I'm a public speaker, as you know. There are many people that feel fear before they go out in front of an audience. The Robert character used to. So there could be certain things in phase one, perhaps also in phase two, if you used the Busting Loose phase two tools, where fear used to appear. The first possibility is those same things, you can be in those same situations, and that particular movement of energy will not appear anymore. Now, right now, your mind machine would buzz and whir and say, that's what I want, that's good, that's the ultimate objective that I'm after. But that's only one possibility, and it may or may not happen. In the Robert story, there are many, many examples where what we call fear, again, let's talk about the pure raw experience of it, a particular movement of energy that's big, sharp, intense, dramatic, whatever you want to call it, used to appear in situations, and it doesn't anymore. But I'll give you another example, and again, this is erratic. I can't tell you why this is erratic, but it's erratic. There are times that I can be driving and somebody can run a red light or do something and can get close to hitting my car or whatever. And there are times that there will be a movement of energy, like what you would call fear, that will appear in a situation where, let's say, the Robert character's body is in danger. And that particular big movement of energy that you would call fear, it's just a story, but you'd call it, will appear. And then there are other times something like that can happen and nothing appears. It's just quiet in inner space. And I don't analyze these things anymore, but there's no obvious difference. It's not like any time da-da-da-da happens with these kinds of details, then fear appears, that movement appears, not fear. And anytime something happens, even if the body's in danger, fear doesn't appear. There's no pattern that I can notice. It's just sometimes, but I experience it as just a movement of emotion. I don't stop to say anymore, I would have called this fear. I'm aware of it. I don't narrate it. I don't define it. I don't judge it. I'm just aware of it. So if I'm driving and something like that happens and there's a big movement of energy, fine. There's a big movement of energy, just like you can be watching a great movie and there can be something scary and there's a big movement of energy in inner space, but you're aware of it. You don't stop and call it anything. You don't judge it. It's just, you feel it. It comes, it goes. It expands, it contracts. Yeah, and the movie continues. You feel other things. You think other. That's how I experience it. So that's the second possibility, is that various emotions, not just fear, but you've narrated fear as being a big one here in your story, can still appear from time to time in some situations, but not others. Or it can appear in all of those same situations, except you don't perceive it as a negative. It's not a problem. You don't perceive it as uncomfortable. It's not an issue. You just experience it, again, like you would in a movie or reading a novel. And either possibility is fine. One is not more advanced or involved or evolved or ultimate freedom-y. They're going to appear again. There's a lot of times when you're watching movies and reading novels that, by definition, the screenwriter for the movie, the author for the novel, wants you to feel afraid in that moment. They want you to feel that emotion. And they write the scenes in specific ways to get you to feel that way, to feel that particular emotion. Not for you to feel bad, because again, when we're watching movies and reading novels, we don't have good and bad that we feel, not really in general. We just feel. And all the feeling without the stories, without the judgments, is perceived as positive and welcome. And we enjoy it, and the more the merrier, when there isn't the story and there isn't the judgment. So those are the two possibilities. And the journey into one or both of those possibilities for the Elmar character, whether one of those things tends to happen, whether one happens for a little while and then it goes away and then there's whatever, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter to me whether what once would have been called fear appears or it doesn't. It's just constantly being aware of the unique movements of energy, them all being appreciated as the story continues. Again, the same thing that happens when you're reading a novel that you're loving, watching a movie that you're loving. There can be exceptions. So, but there's no reason, and if you want to try to make fear go away, it won't. It never does in phase one. You know, there's all kinds of teachings out there about overcoming fear and reframing fear and all these feeling it, feel the fear and do it anyway. You know, there's all these things, but nobody ever makes fear go away in phase one. In phase two, if you're aware of the Busting Loose phase two teachings, fear is discomfort, which is used as raw material by using the process to drill through cloud cover, but it isn't meant to make the fear go away. It's used. It does tend to disappear over time. Or happen less, but that's not a rule or a formula. It depends on the story. It continued to appear in the Robert story until ultimate freedom began to awaken. And but it's not about my bias, and I get where you are. My prediction is it'll change. It's not about making fear going away. It's not about deleting it. It's not about anything. It's about being in a truthful, with a capital T, relationship with it. I loved a television show that ran for 5 years called Fringe, and I started to rewatch some of the episodes again because I really liked it. And now that I know the whole story that unfolded over 5 years, I've been sort of curious to see how I perceive the earlier episodes. And there's a lot of examples in that TV show where I don't call it that again, and I didn't call it that 5, 6, 10 years ago, you know, but where there's a very big, sharp movement of energy that you could describe accurately as fear that appears in a lot of those episodes. But again, it's not labeled, it's not judged, it's just felt. And so that's the opportunity. And I feel like saying on this path, as long as the mind machine wants fear to go away, it won't. On this path, it's not about that. It's about being in a truthful, with a capital T, relationship with everything that's going on, which means seeing that there's a pure raw experience that there's no problem with, that can be welcomed and appreciated just like it is with movies and novels. There is a story, and the story for emotions includes a name and a positive, negative, pleasurable, painful, comfortable, uncomfortable story. That they are separate, they are fused together, they can separate, the story can disappear, and when it does, everything's different. Okay. So that's what I feel like sharing with you. I don't have some super technique that you can use to, you know, there's no special emotional C4 or dynamite that I can give you. And I'll just say, okay, next time you experience fear, light the fuse on this sucker and it'll blow up. That'll separate the pure raw experience and the story for you. It doesn't work that way. True creative essence does this in its own way, unique for you, in its own timing, with its own unfolding of a story over whatever time frame, and it'll take care of itself. And it, to me, my bias, it's the most amazing, extraordinary journey possible. My bias, and looking back, even though kicking and screaming, I hated it. I couldn't stand it. All these things appeared. When I look back on the journey that in my case technically unfolded over 10 years, if you include the phase two busting loose work and the cloud cover, and then, as I mentioned, about 3 years that I narrated in the My Story thing, that was actually kind of blurred over the 10 years, but the 3 years was a primary time frame when ultimate freedom was awakening and all these things, pure raw experience, was separating from stories. And I wouldn't trade 1 second of the 3 years. I'm glad it was not finger snapping magic. I'm glad that it was not rushed. Bear with the language. I'm glad now that it didn't happen faster, that I didn't have fewer of the intense experiences. It's all precious to me now. And I pretty much everybody, every character whose story I'm aware of going through the cloud cover with the phase two busting loose tools or with the journey of ultimate freedom says the same thing. In the heat of certain moments, it was get me the hell out of here. I hate this. I can't stand this. I don't want this. Please make it stop or go away. But lack of a better term, when you come out the other end and they're seeing with a capital S, ultimate freedom is awake. There's experiencing pure raw experience separate from stories. All these things, the wow of it, the appreciation of it, the deliciousness of it is just off the charts. Okay, here's the next question. This is from Kauri, who we have already chatted with earlier in this audio. Here we go. Hello, Robert. I sent you a question yesterday, but I didn't think I was clear enough, so I was rewriting it today and feel like I have the answer already. Smiles. But I would appreciate it if you would make some comments. You can ignore yesterday's question. Well, Kauri, as you already know, I already answered the question before this came in, so you'll get what you get from that, and then we'll see what comes through with wherever you're going to go with this. So I'll continue. I was going to ask again, if everything in my life is written by true creative essence already, then what is the point of making the effort to notice the raw experiences? Because whether I get the true creative essence viewpoint or not, and how would also already have been written. But as I was writing this, I finally got what you were telling us in the course, that true creative essence and I are one and the same. The question came out because I was still assuming transparently that true creative essence and I were separate, and I felt frustrated because I didn't know if I was doing this correctly. But if I am doing this work, then it was written, and however I'm doing it, not doing it, is how true creative essence equals I, quote unquote, wanted to experience it, correct? So I'll stop there, yes. And I'll just say, and I mentioned this in the Ultimate Key to Freedom content, the mind is never going to be able to logically, intellectually, idea and concept really get that true creative essence and you, Kauri, me, Robert, everyone else listening to this are one and the same. If we're brutally honest, the mind machine, logic, intellect can take a look at that. And if it was truly honest, it would say, well, I kind of get that in a way, but it doesn't seem like that. Because, you know, I feel like Kauri. I feel like Robert. I'm not aware of this true creative essence that I supposedly am, you know. Or if there is this something that you've discovered as the total immersion reader, it seems so much smaller, distant, vague, whatever, compared to this vivid experience of me being Robert, me being Kauri. So the mind machine's never really going to be able to understand this. But when the total immersion reader awakens and there's the experience of you actually being, not an idea and a concept, not some cool esoteric metaphysical New Age teaching, but when you actually experience, which is the ultimate goal of the ultimate freedom teachings, you could say, don't take those words too literally, when you actually experience that you are true creative essence, total immersion, reading, in your case, the Kauri story, it doesn't make any difference whether the mind machine understands it or not, because the experience of it blows everything out of the water, all the doubts, all the questions, all the trying to understand. So that's the goal. Until that experience is had, and sometimes you can just have it once as a blip, and boom, all the mind machine buzz were about, are we separate, are we one, whatever. You can experience it once for 4 seconds, and that can get blown out of the water because of the experience with a capital E, or it can be something where it has to be experienced more times. There's no rule or formula, it just depends. But anyway, yes, what you're talking about here is correct, but it's at the idea and concept level. You're asking questions at the idea concept level, trying to understand it at the idea concept level, and that's fine. That's a first step. That's important as a first step, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Even if you listen to me saying, yes, that's correct, your understanding of that Kauri is correct, ultimately that's not going to give you any benefits. That's not going to change anything. Lack of a better term, it has to drop from idea and concept to experience with a capital E, where you actually experience the truth that that's who you are and that's what's going on. And once the experience, I just language it as awakens, not the perfect word, but as good as I've been able to come up with, then everything changes. And ultimately, you have to allow the pages of the story, the Kauri story in your case, the other stories of other people listening to this, the pages continue to get turned until you see the twists and turns and ups and downs and whatever elements of a story that are obstacles and blockages to actually having that experience of who you really are and what's really going on that makes this a great story. Okay, continuing. My understanding is still on an intellectual level. Okay, there you go. That's me saying, there you go. She just said, my understanding is still on an intellectual level. Yes, confirming what I said. Continuing, but I do hope true creative essence equals I wrote the story so I can actually experience its viewpoint sometime. Okay, that particular issue I addressed in the other audio when I explained it's not that maybe sometime that'll happen. It's going on right now. If you are somewhere in the world listening to this and it's what you would call daytime, then you're aware of the sun. If you're somewhere listening to this and it's nighttime and you're not aware of the sun's still there. It didn't go anywhere. It wasn't destroyed. You could say, well, I got to wait till the sun rises again tomorrow. But the reality is, if you're an astronomer, if you were looking at space through a telescope, if you were an astronaut in space, you'd see that the sun is still there. It's still shining. Everything's still there. It's just your experience in that moment is not of the sun being there. But it is there. So it's not that someday, maybe, and I'm not going to repeat this beyond this because I talked about this earlier, although I welcome additional dialogue from you, Kauri, or anyone else after listening to this whole audio. It's not that you're not having the experience right now and someday you may. You are having the experience right now. You've always had that experience by design to make phase one possible, to make unique experiences possible. It was obscured from your experience. It was blocked as it appeared, not really. Sleight of hand, magic trick. It appeared as if you weren't true creative essence, that you weren't having this experience. And now there's the what ultimate freedom sets into motion is the unfolding of a story that will unfold over time in which the cloud cover blocking the experience of the sun, the magic trick obscuring the fact that you always were and still are now and always will be true creative essence, total immersion, reading an amazing story, will reveal itself and become the perspective point with capital P's, but it's unfolding as a great story. I know it doesn't always seem that way, and there can be what I call profound impatience to just have the cloud cover knocked out and get the goodies, you know, and I felt that, but it's a story, and it's going to unfold with the kind of elements that Michael Haig talked about as the story unfolds. Okay, continuing. Anyway, since the Ultimate Key to Freedom teachings, I have a more relaxed view of life Because I know there is nothing I can do to change it. It is amazing that this phrase sounds so positive now and gives me a feeling of freedom. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Yeah, it is amazing. And there are many people who come to the phase two busting loose teachings and realize that they're not controlling things and they're not creating their own reality, all of that. And they really struggle with that. It seems like a negative. And there's all these mind machine stories of, well, now I'm a puppet and I'm this little minuscule nothing. And that's bad news. And I don't like that I'm not in charge. But the reality is there's no more my bias positive message that you could ever get in the human experience than that. But it's not just that. It's the fact that there's a writer and there's a reader. And there's a hero and there's a story and all the stuff happening in the story and you're all of it. And that the opportunity you have, just like with a great novel or a great movie, is to enjoy being all of it and being able to enjoy total immersion stories of various things happening, including the journey from identity to essence and all the other things that are possible that you know from a truthful with a capital T perspective. And yes, to me, that's why it's called ultimate freedom, because if you can experience absolutely anything in inner space, you can experience absolutely anything in story space, which you can with movies and novels, and love it, enjoy it, appreciate it, go wow, just to use those limited ways of describing it. How could you possibly be more free than to be able to enjoy absolutely everything? Now, the ironic thing is, once we get to that point, as I've narrated before, not only is your experience of everything different, and not only could you enjoy it, just to use that language, even if what you would have once called bad or difficult or challenging or frustrating or confusing things happen, because those happen to heroes when we're reading books and watching movies, but it also opens the door for the content to change. And for there to be fewer or no challenges in the same way that there were, you know, no more serious problems or crises or tragedies, you know, it also opens the door for the content to change. And that's what's happening in the Robert story. But there's no rule or formula about what's going to happen, if that's going to happen, how that's going to happen. Even movies now and novels and such, it's no longer what it was when I was a kid, where there was always the what they called Hollywood happy ending. You know, every story always had a happy ending, or most of them did, you know. So anyway, but yeah, absolutely. It is amazing that I know I can't change it, that I'm just the reader, total immersion reader of this amazing story. It is amazing how positively that can be received, which is the truth of it, and how it does give this amazing feeling of freedom. Absolutely. Okay, continuing. Today I had a very interesting experience. I met some cute guys at work, and then going home from work, some homeless people came up very close to me. Things appeared in inner space in both cases, but it seemed that the raw experiences were very similar in terms of intensity slash feel. When I realized that, I had a pretty good laugh. So that's where I'm at, Robert. Thank you for reading this, and I look forward to your feedback. So I believe, Kauri, that with what I said before and what I said here, I've responded as best as I can, lack of a better term, to what you've shared in the two questions, and I welcome an ongoing dialogue if there is anything else that you, Kauri, or anybody else would like to discuss, share, ask along the lines of the content of this question. Okay, that's it for this week. As I mentioned, I'm doing this early. I'm uploading this a little bit early because of the event that's coming up. So I once again apologize if you sent something in Thursday afternoon, Friday, and you're not hearing a response here. The reason is, as I explained, I have the Ultimate Key to Freedom intensive event, and so I'm getting this done early. And I will get to your questions if they come in or comments, and add it to the one for the following week, which will be, I guess, May 10th or whatever it is for that Friday, not looking at a calendar. Okay, thanks very much for the questions and comments and shares. I'll look forward to our next form of contact, whatever shape that takes. Bye-bye for now.